Hello, listeners. This is Mrs. Smith, second grade teacher from Conequenessing Elementary School. Today, I'll be reading aloud a story. The story I selected is The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. I picked this book to share because April 22nd is Earth Day. It's a day to remind us how fragile our planet is and how important it is to protect it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. At the far end of town where the grickle grass grows and the wind smells slow and sour when it blows and no birds ever sing excepting old crows is the street of the lifted Lorax. And deep in the grickle grass, some people say, if you look deep enough, you can still see today where the Lorax once stood just as long as it could before somebody lifted the Lorax away. What was the Lorax, and why was it there? And why was it lifted and taken somewhere from the far end of town where the grickle grass grows? The old onceler still lives there. Ask him. He knows. You won't see the onceler. Don't knock at his door. He stays in his lurkum on the top of the store. He lurks in his lurkum, cold under the roof, where he makes his own clothes out of mitt-muffered moof. And on special dank midnights in August, he peeks out of the shutters, and sometimes he speaks and tells how the Lorax was lifted away. He'll tell you, perhaps, if you're willing to pay. On the end of a rope, he lets down a tin pail, and you have to toss in 15 cents and a nail and the shell of a great-great-great-grandfather snail. Then he pulls up the pail, and he makes a most careful count to see if you've paid him the proper amount. Then he hides what you've paid him away in his snub, his strange secret hole in his grovelous glove. Then he grunts, I will call you by whisper, my phone, for the secrets I tell, or for your ears alone. Slurp down, slurps the whisper, my phone, to your ear. And the old onceler's whispers are not very clear, since they have to come down through a snurgly hose, and he sounds as if he had smallish bees up his nose. Now I'll tell you, he says, with his teeth sounding gray, how the Lorax got lifted and taken away. It all started way back, such a long, long time back, way back in the days when the grass was still green, and the pond was still wet, and the clouds were still clean, and the song of the Swami Swans rang out in space. One morning, I came to this glorious place, and I first saw the trees, the truffula trees, the bright-colored tufts of the truffula trees, mile after mile in the fresh morning breeze. And under the trees, I saw brown barbalutes frisking about in their barbaloot suits as they played in the shade and ate truffula fruit. From the rippleless pond came the comfortable sound of the humming fish humming while splashing around. But those truffula trees, all my life I had been searching for trees such as these. The touch of their tufts was softer than silk, and they had the sweet smell of fresh butterfly milk. I felt a great leaping of joy in my heart. I knew just what I'd do, and I unloaded my cart. And in no time at all, I built a small shop. Then I chopped down a truffula tree with one chop. And with great skillful skill and with great speedy speed, I took the soft tuft and I knitted a smead. The instant I finished, I heard a gazump, and I looked, and I saw something pop out of the stump of the tree I just chopped down. It was sort of a man. Describe him? That's hard. I don't know if I can. He was shortish and oldish and brownish and mossy, and he spoke with a voice that was sharpish and bossy. Mister, he said with a soft, dusty sneeze, I am the Lorax, and I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs. And he was very upset when he shouted and he puffed, "What's that thing you've made out of my travelotuft?" "Look, Lorax," I said, "there's no cause for alarm. I just chopped one tree. I am doing no harm. I'm being quite useful. This thing is a thneed, and a thneed that finds something that all people need. It's a shirt. It's a sock. It's a glove. It's a hat. And yes, it has other uses. Yes, far beyond that. You can use it for carpet, for pillows, for sheets, or curtains, or covers, for bicycle seats." The Lorax said, "Sir, you are crazy with greed. There's no one on earth that would buy that fool the need." But the very next minute, I proved he was wrong. And just at that minute, a chap came along. And he thought that the need that I had knitted was great. And he happily bought it for $3.98. I laughed at the Lorax. "You poor stupid guy. You can never tell what some people will buy." "I repeat," said the Lorax, "I speak for the trees." "I am busy," I told him. "Shush up, if you please." I rushed across the room, and in no time at all, I built a radio phone, and I put in a quick call. I called all my brothers and aunts and uncles, and I said, "Listen here, here's our wonderful chance for the whole Wentzler family to get mighty rich. Get over here fast. Take the road to North Mitch. Turn left at Weehawken. Sharp right at South Ditch." And in no time at all, in the factory that I built, the whole Wentzler family was working full tilt. We were all knitting sneeds, just as busy as beads, to the sound of the chopping of truffula trees. Then, oh, baby, oh, my business, it did grow. Now, chopping one tree at a time was too slow. So I quickly invented my super axe hacker, which whacked off four truffula trees in one smacker. We're making sneeds four times as fast as before. And that Lorax, he didn't show up anymore. But the next week, he knocked on my new office door, and he snapped, "I am the Lorax, and I speak for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please. But I'm also in charge of the brown barbaloot, who played in the shade of their barbaloot suit and happily lived eating truffula fruits. Now, thanks to your hacking my trees to the ground, there's not enough truffula fruit to go around. And my poor barbaloots are getting all the crummies, because they have gas and no food in their tummies. They love living here, but I can't let them stay. They'll have to find food, and I hope that they may. Good luck, boys," he cried, and he sent them away. I, the Wentzler, felt sad as I watched them all go. But business is business, and business must grow, regardless of crummies and tummies, you know. I meant no harm. I most truly did not. But I had to grow bigger. So bigger I got. I biggered my factory. I biggered my roads. I biggered my wagons. I biggered the loads of the needs I shipped out. I was shipping them forth to the south, to the east, to the west, to the north. I went on biggering, selling more needs, and I biggered my money, which everyone needs. Then again, he came back. I was fixing some pipes when that old nuisance Lorax, he came back with more grapes. The Lorax, he coughed and he whiffed. He sneezed and he snuffled. He snargled. He sniffed. "Wentzler," he cried with a crotchless croak. "Wentzler, you're making such smogulous smoke. My poor swami swans, why they can't sing a note. No one can sing who has smog in his throat." "And so," said the Lorax, "please pardon my cough. They cannot live here. I'm sending them off. Where will they go? I don't hopefully know. They may have to fly for a month or a year to escape from the smog you smogged up around here." "What's more," snapped the Lorax, and his dander was up, let me say a few words about the gluppity-glup. Your machinery chugs on all day, all night, without stop, making gluppity-glup and schluppity-schlup. And what do you do with this leftover goo? I'll show you, you dirty old onceler man, you. You're glumping up the pond where the humming fish hummed. No more can they hum, for their gills are all gummed. I'm sending them off. Oh, their future is dreary. We'll walk on their fins, get woefully weary, in search of some water that isn't so smeary. And then I got mad. I got terribly mad. I yelled at that Lorax. Now listen here, Dad. All you do is yap, yap, and say, bad, 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 bad. Well, I have my rights, sir, and I'm telling you that I intend to go on doing just what I do. And for your information, you Lorax, I'm figuring on biggering, biggering, and biggering, and biggering, turning more truffle trees into thneeds, which everyone needs. And at that very moment, we heard a loud whack. From outside in the fields came a sickening smack of an axe on a tree, and then we heard the tree fall. The very last truffle tree of them all. No more trees, no more thneeds, no more work to be done. So in no time, my uncles and aunts and everyone all waved me goodbye. They jumped into my cars, and they drove off under the smoke-smuggered stars. Now, that's all that was left neath the bad-smelling sky was my big, empty factory, the Lorax, and I. The Lorax said nothing, just gave me a glance, just gave me a very sad, sad backwards glance as he lifted himself by the seat of his pants. And I'll never forget the grim look on his face when he heisted himself and took leave of this place, through a hole in the smog, without leaving a trace. And all that the Lorax left here in this mess was a small pile of rocks with one word, unless. Unless, whatever that meant, well, I just couldn't guess. That was long, long ago. But each day since that day, I've sat here worried, and I worried away. Through the years, while all my buildings have fallen apart, I've worried about it with all my heart. But now, says the onceler, now that you're here, the word of the Lorax, it seems perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not. So, catch, calls the onceler, and he lets something fall. It's a truffle seed, and it's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last truffle seed, and truffle trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new truffle, treat it with care, give it clean water, and feed it fresh air. Grow a forest, protect it from axes that hack. Then the Lorax and all of his friends may come back. The end. Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the Lorax, and happy Earth Day.